Welcome back from spring break. It is wonderful to have you here again in the Lord's house as we celebrate the fourth week of the season of Lent. Our reading for today is taken from the Gospel of St. John, the sixth chapter, beginning with verse 24. And this follows on the heels of the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000. When the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, nor his disciples, they also got into boats and came to Capernaum seeking Jesus. And when they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, "Rabbi, when did you come here?" Jesus answered them and said, "Most assuredly I say to you, you seek me not because you saw the signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled. Do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has set his seal on him. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen." If you could pick out one of the miraculous events in Jesus' ministry that you could have been personally there to witness, probably would have been maybe one of the resurrections back to life, Lazarus or the young man of Nain. Some people might select this tremendous miracle, the feeding of the 5,000, probably one of the most well-known of the miracles if you just ask the average person on the street. And I always wonder, how did it take place? Did the multiplication of these five loaves and two fish take place in the baskets as people were passing them to each other? How did this food multiply? What was it like to watch this happen and to see Christ display his divine power, true Son of God, in this tremendously miraculous way? It's kind of hard not to blame people for being excited about seeing a miracle. I mean, even today, we're drawn to things like that. We're drawn to things that are beyond our ability to seem to explain naturally. Crowds of people every year go to Las Vegas to see shows by Penn and Teller and Siegfried and Roy and all of those magicians. David Copperfield has grossed over $4 billion in his career. He owns an island, for goodness sakes. So we shouldn't blame people for being excited and startled by these miraculous things. We're drawn to things that are very phenomenal to us. And even in Jesus' day, King Herod Antipas in his time, during the week of Jesus' trial before Pilate, when Pilate sent him to Herod, he wanted to see him perform a miracle. It's just something in our nature that we love to observe things that are supernatural. Now, Jesus had certainly come into this world to draw people to himself. Having crowds come to hear him and listen to him was a wonderful and a good thing. And yet he had a particular reason that he wanted people to come to him. And these Jesus groupies, you might say, that chased him down across the lake had now come to him for the wrong reasons. And Jesus uses their attention toward these things to teach a lesson, a powerful lesson to them and also for his church of all times. They came seeking not a savior, but a provider. And God likewise wants us to keep that proper perspective. Jesus has come into this world and into this life of ours, not to give us a better life, not to make this world your paradise, but to actually teach you the reality of being in this fallen world, so that through faith in him, we can actually have real, lasting, eternal paradise. Now, if you're like I am, and probably most of us, we are impatient people. We don't like to wait for things. We don't like to wait for our paradise. We want heaven to take place now on earth. Disney World has figured out that people hate to stand in line, especially Americans. We are impatient people. We want to get what we want now. And so they've hired people that figure out ways to design the line so you feel like you're in the attraction even though you've got an hour to wait to get on the roller coaster. Our Lord Jesus reminds us, he says, "Do not labor for the food which perishes." It's easy for us in this world and in this life to be so drawn to the material things that we can get and all the happiness and success and things that we can have here in this world, and to be drawn to that. We want it now. We don't like this waiting for heaven thing. We want our lives to be fulfilling and good and satisfying right now. We want all those cravings inside of us to be satisfied right now. But Jesus warns, he says, do not labor for the food which perishes. About 20 years ago, I came to serve a church in town. And that first year that I was there, I remember I had about 15 or 16, 17 ordained men, clergy in my congregation. And one of them was talking to me after church one day, first year I was there. And I said to him, you know, I've preached 2 out of the last 3 sermons on materialism. I probably should move on to something else. And he said, no, I could hear that every Sunday. Here is somebody who labors in the Word of God and teaches it to others, teaches them to be focused on the heaven that Christ has come to win for us, and I had to admit with him too. Even we who labor in that Word of God need to be regularly reminded to set our minds and hearts on things above. Jesus calls it the food that perishes. In other words, all the stuff in this world that we can get, all the different things that can attract us away from being prepared for heaven. It might be being popular and having fame or notoriety. Maybe your good looks. And boy, you've really got them, by the way. It might be sexual pleasure. It might be financial success. It might be our good health. It might be trying to make our bodies last as long as they can. Some of these things are good and fine things. Finding a spouse, getting married someday, having a family, all things that can in and of by themselves be good and that God has much to say about. But when we start living for them and when we start seeking these things to find our satisfaction in life, this is the danger our Lord is worrying about. We can labor in this life for things that ultimately will fade away. Just imagine for a moment if God allowed you to actually see, like a little black imprint on things, the actual expiration date of everything that there ever could be. Not just food, but like the clothes that you're wearing today. The exact day that you're going to finally throw them away or that they'll finally rot away. A house that you're going to buy. The final click on the odometer of your car. Your pet. The exact day that your pet's going to die. Sorry, but it's going to happen. Okay, or your spouse someday, or your children, or your parents, or your own body, the actual black ink date that says this is the day it's going to be gone. And what will it look like that day? Our Lord doesn't want us to be living for the things that are here and now and make that our paradise, because if that's what you're going to be into and what your heart is into, you're going to be let down big time. Think of all of the things, think of all the things you could compile in this life, a huge pile and mass of wealth and wonderful things to have. None of that was big enough and important enough for the Son of God to get off of his throne in heaven and come down and take on human flesh to save you for. But to get you out of this life and out of your grave and ultimately to heaven where your real paradise is, that got him off his throne. Because that is eternal, everlasting, and far superior to any joy, pleasure, or contentment that you think will satisfy you with the things here in this world. Jesus says, do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. And that will fulfill all the cravings that we have. He says, store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moth and rust destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. So that's the bread your Lord invites you to work for. And he has come to bring it to you in word and sacrament. Amen.